Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Ordinary Church Podcast. This is a podcast about the church and for the church. I am Connor. I'm here with Mike. It is a beautiful, kind of gloomy Wednesday morning as we're sitting in Mike's office recording this. So happy to be with you. Today on the podcast, we're talking about forgiveness. I think the title is just on forgiveness, something like that. So we're just going to get right into it. It's going to be kind of sprawling, maybe a little bit rambling, but we're just going to be kind of throwing some thoughts back and forth about forgiveness. Mike, you're preaching on this in Ephesians as you're just preaching the next verse this coming Sunday. So I know this has been on your mind. Let me just start with the question, what has been on your mind? As you've been kind of mulling this over, getting ready for Sunday, what are some of the things that are coming to the surface for you?
All right. Hey, you said it was a great gloomy day?
It's beautiful outside.
A beautiful gloomy day.
It is. It's like a nice fall
it's
day.
It's a beautiful gloomy day. Yeah. You caught me with that though, because you're like, you used beautiful with gloomy.
Some people are with me out there and they love fall and it's their favorite season. So when
I know,
these days
but gloomy
come,
seems like, you know, foreboding and what have you.
Maybe,
you know?
I don't know.
It's a beautiful, how about a beautiful overcast day?
Okay.
You did say it was a gloomy overcast day.
But yeah.
I forgive you. I forgive you for doing that.
I refuse to accept it because okay, you didn't sin against me.
I just told Connor, I go, sometimes forgiveness, and I said, we're not going to talk about this on the podcast, but here I go. I'm going to start with this. Forgiveness is a tricky thing because sometimes people will say to you, please forgive me, or I forgive you, like I just did. And there hasn't been any sins committed. And forgiveness, we don't want to cheapen the word. Forgiveness is really about when there's a debt that you're going to free someone from. And kind of like forgiving a debt, you know, like a bank would forgive a debt or whatever. So I'm just saying, like, sometimes people will, and I think sometimes there's false forgiveness. I don't, you know, where false apologies, someone apologizes because they feel so pressured by someone who keeps telling them, you did this to me. And they're thinking, they're searching their heart going, I didn't though. But just to keep the quote unquote, keep the peace, they say, I'm sorry. And then the person then just shoots back, I forgive you. And it's like, I think that's kind of peace where there is no peace, because it wasn't an actual sin that happened. It was a made up one.
Yeah.
So anyway, God knows. OGK.
Yeah.
Well, what was your question?
I just said, what have you been thinking about? What have you been thinking about?
In the last 5 minutes, that. I think in a bigger sense, what I've been thinking about is probably this. I think of Matthew 5, and I think of in Matthew 5:23, where the context is about when I have sinned against someone. And it says, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you. When you remember that you've done something, you get convicted by the Holy Spirit. And you're like, I sinned against someone. I need to go and make it right. It says, just leave your gift at the altar, go be reconciled, then come and worship, okay? And I think that's beautiful when that happens, right? That's just beautiful. I've been thinking about that a lot. That when the Holy Spirit convicts a true believer of their sin, they just go and make it right. Praise the Lord. Mm. And then, but what if I do that to you? And I go, you know, Connor, I punched you in the nose last week. Have I ever punched you in the nose?
You haven't.
No. But yeah. If I did punch you in the nose, it would be sinful.
That would be.
Because I mean, I couldn't see myself punching someone in the nose unless it was like a really, you know, egregious situation, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah.
But what if I came to you and said, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I lashed out in anger. Please forgive me. And you know what? I'm going to pay your medical bill. And I just want you to know, and maybe I even say, I'm sorry a couple times, like kind of really. And what would you say?
I hope I'd say, I forgive you.
Even if your nose was like in
my
three
nose
different
all,
directions.
Yeah, it's all over the place, like going way off the side of my left side of my face.
Yeah.
I hope I'd say, I forgive you.
Okay. And what would you be meaning by that?
I think I would mean I have some kind of a right, that's air quotes. I have a right to harbor some kind of anger toward you or hold something over your head. But I'm letting that go, and I'm going to absorb the pain of what's happened, and I'm not going to hold this against you. That's the debt idea that you already said.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to let that go.
Okay, that's awesome. Okay, so what if I go to you and you say, I'm not ready to forgive you yet? What's going on? Because the first scenario, we're like, beauty. No more gloomy.
Yeah.
No more gloominess. It's beautiful. It's all good.
Peace. Yeah.
Okay. But what if you say to me, I'm not ready to forgive you yet? What have we just done with the relationship there?
Yeah, I would be saying something like, I'm not ready to let go of the animosity that I have toward you, or the sense that everything's not okay between us because of this thing that you've done. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd be saying, I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to kind of persist in holding something over you.
Right.
I'm not letting that go
right now. And that's just not good. Right?
Not good. Okay. No, no.
So you got the situation in Matthew 5 where you're like, man, I realize I've sinned. I got to go make it right. You make it right. Everybody receives it. All good. But then you got that situation where it's like, yikes. We almost re-break the bone.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's not good. So then, okay, so now there's another one. Now you go to Matthew 18, right? And you're like, this is one where someone sins against you. They're not convicted of their sin, and they don't even realize it. They're kind of oblivious, maybe. And until you go and confront them, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's the thing. If your brother sins against you, go and reprove him. This is Matthew 18, verse 15. Mm-hmm. And then it says, you go and reprove him in private, right?
Right.
It says, if he listens to you, right? If he listens, the idea that he receives it, that he confesses it, he repents, and he wants to make everything right, okay? So what do you have there? It's good, right?
Yeah.
No more gloominess.
If he's...
Okay.
If he hears you.
So yeah, he hears you and no more gloominess. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's great. But what if the person says, no, forget you. Now you have to go steps by steps into stepping. Now you're stepping, you know, down into church discipline. Okay. Into what we know as church discipline. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the Lord knows how that's going to go, right? So only God knows, but you're hoping for a good resolution. But you may get to the point where someone needs to be, put out or dismissed from fellowship, okay? Mm-hmm. So you got that going. But what about you get later into Matthew 18, right after that? And let me look it up in my Bible really quick. We're talking about...
Yeah, I see where you're going. I never noticed
that Peter,
these passages are next to each other.
Right, yeah. Right next to each other. So you got Peter saying to Jesus, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And then, as many as 7 times. So it was 3 was required. He doubles it. He adds 1, whatever, however that goes. And then Jesus says, I do not say 7 times, but 70 times 7. So essentially he's saying unlimited. You just keep on forgiving freely, right? Hmm. So if someone sins against you and they do not confess or repent of it and you choose to forgive them, what does that do to the relationship?
I would say it puts you in a pretty good position to be. I mean, we kind of call that forbearance, right? Like not dredging up whatever the sin was and just in our own hearts saying, you know what? I'm just going to not hold that against them. It's not going to sour my feelings toward them. I'm taking whatever cost there was to the sin that they committed against me. I'm owning that, or I'm bearing it, I should say. I absorb it, and I'm going to love this person.
But what about your relationship with them?
With that person?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it puts me in a good position to just keep doing life with them. And.
But wait, hold on. Maybe I didn't say it right.
Yeah.
They sin against you.
Yeah.
They do not confess it or repent. Okay. And I guess I'm saying like there's no interaction. You just choose to forgive them.
Yeah.
But they're still holding. They're still like maybe there's animosity on their part.
Okay. I gotcha.
Okay. I guess I was pointing to more. I didn't say it very well. Like still fractured relationship.
Right. Okay. Right.
There's that possibility.
And there's a time when maybe you need to take the first step to say, hey, I know there's something between us. And I think that
maybe
we could talk about what's going on.
Yeah. But I like what you said at the first part. If they're unaware and they just know all is well because you want it to be, okay?
Right.
But if they are holding animosity, okay? Like they're continuing to sin against you.
Yeah.
Now we are in a different ballpark.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, now you have a disunity issue or a an anger issue that's persisting. And I think that, yeah, if they're not going to bring anything forward, I think that's where you'd say, hey, I don't know that you need to necessarily say, I'm Matthew 18-ing you and here's why you're sinning against me. But to say, hey, I think there's something going on. Can we talk, you know, and try to bring to the surface what's going on and be clear about it, be gracious in that. Yeah, because you don't want to have a relationship where you know that there's something, you know, you don't want to have the person that you're dodging on the plaza on a Sunday morning, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do think though that there is a definitely you can choose to just forbear, right? If they're unaware of what they've done. And you can choose if you feel like it's appropriate to just say, hey, I'm not gonna bring this up. I can't think of them right now, but there's proverbs that basically say something like it's the foolish person who has to go and follow up every little loose end. You know, sometimes you just let things drop to the ground. Mm-hmm. So I have a question, Mike. Just thinking about, I've heard people say stuff like this or ask this kind of a question with the forgiving somebody 70 times seven. You know, we say in some sense that forgiveness is absorbing the debt or letting the debt go or forgiving the debt so that you're not holding that, you know, you're not holding something against a person. You're acting with them toward love. But if somebody has a pattern where they're sinning, and even if they, let's say they come back and they're repentant and they want to turn, but then the pattern continues, we can imagine all kinds of things where this would be the situation. Is it right for me to begin to form a different opinion of that person or to treat them in light of a pattern of failures, even while I still forgive them and have love toward them? Like, how does that work? How do you forgive, but also maybe the way I've heard it is people saying, but do I need to trust them or things like that? You know, do I need to, everybody says, no, trust doesn't always need to be, you know, extended like it was before, depending on what's happened. But I don't know. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I do.
And I think I didn't really frame the question very clearly. But
no, I think it was really clear. I think you did a great job.
Okay.
No, I got you.
Okay.
Okay. So I would say this, you know, we need to forgive wisely. So no pearls before swine and all of that. And let's just say that the person has continually done things to you that are really egregious, but they come back and they apologize and, you know, they've confessed their sins and you can tell, you know, when someone's repentant or not. Okay. You just know, because you can tell by the way that they're earnest about kind of wanting their own sins to be under the blood and wanting their own sins to be exposed and just making it right.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, but to wanting to make it right. Now, if that's the case, that doesn't mean when trust has been broken, okay? When trust has been broken, I think you need to be wise and say, okay, I don't trust this person right now, okay? Now, I don't know if that means that you say to them, I will never trust you again, because I think then you show you didn't really forgive, okay? Because I think what you should be thinking is, I want to let the trust be rebuilt. And I'm going to do everything in my power to bring that about. Now, if they never reciprocate, you maybe still stay in this untrusting. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like it would just be a question of, I think maybe what I was thinking is that really that points out to me, forgiveness is at some level a matter of your heart of love toward that person. And when sin has happened and that love has been broken down so that you're no longer, your will isn't totally bent toward their good, wanting to love them, that's where there's an issue and forgiveness needs to be extended. But when forgiveness is extended, like I think the wise forgiveness is a good way of saying it. Mm-hmm. There can still be you really do assess people based on the decisions that they made, the patterns that you've seen in their life. And you want to be wise in that, even in that wisdom, you could be fully loving, fully engaged for that person's good. And that's kind of what you're saying, you know, wanting to see trust rebuilt or whatever. So, I think that can be helpful to think about. But also it could be something that someone uses to justify lack of forgiveness, you know, where they say, well, you know, I'm not able to really trust this person. And maybe they say that they've forgiven in name or they've said those words, but they're still holding something against the person. Do you have any thoughts about that, Mike? I feel like one thing that seems common is we can say the words, I forgive you, but then really in our heart, we're still harboring something in response to the sin.
I think that when you get into Ephesians 4:31, it says, let all bitterness go away from you and all slander, and then be tenderhearted and forgiving. You can't do both at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that it's the case though, that forgiveness is sometimes a ongoing choice rather than a one-time decision? Do you feel like that's possible, or what do you think about that?
Oh, I think it's absolutely an ongoing choice, because every time it wells up again, you forgive again.
It's like you're confronted with that same decision almost.
I think so. And yeah. I don't think that means that you didn't forgive. I think that's the nature of human relationships. We have memories. We don't fully forget. And I think that we are supposed to, like, okay, look, one of the things I'm going to say on Sunday about God's forgiveness is that it's perfect, but our forgiveness is imperfect. Okay. Duh. Right.
No, I like where you're going with this. Yeah.
And I think that we have to deal with it, and it gets the forgiveness, the ability to forgive, it gets granted by God again and again and again. So I do believe I think here's a scenario. Let me give you a scenario, and let's just shake this tree. Okay. Here we go. Parents are disciplining their kids. Okay. Sinful parents are disciplining their sinful kids. They're called to do it. Imperfect, sinful parents are disciplining their imperfect, sinful kids. And the kids say, hey, you didn't do it right. You made a lot of mistakes in the way that you disciplined me. You need to be now confessing your sins and be forgiven for what you did against me as you disciplined me, for the consequences I got. Help me. Do the parents need to be free? Do you need to be forgiven? You know, someday Isla does something egregious and she comes up with a legal brief against you guys and says, this is to Connor Haas and Emma Haas. And on this date, my parents, you know, gave me this consequence. They told me it was going to happen, but I don't like the way they did it. And I'm taking issue with them, and they need to be shown their sin, and then they need to confess it, and I need to forgive them. Help me.
Yeah. Talk to me. I mean, I want to say maybe first some kind of an acknowledgement that could that happen? Yeah. I think that there could be situations, I don't know, but I mean, a kid pointing it out maybe depends on the situation, the age, but there are situations where a parent might need to check themselves and say, huh, I wonder if I was actually disciplining with a lot of anger right there, or, you know, something like that. Right. So, and then maybe you would need to apologize and say, hey, I'm sorry. You know, I was trying to discipline you, but the way I raised my voice, the way that I handled that, it was inappropriate. I embarrassed, like, whatever that is, you know? So there's a moment.
So you're assuming you're admitting you did do that in anger.
This is a hypothetical situation. I'm not admitting anything.
In the future, we're going back to the future.
I could be admitting, okay, well, yeah, I did this in anger. I handled it the wrong way. And so I need to acknowledge that and ask for my kids' forgiveness. In other situations.
And I would say absolutely.
Yeah. But I think maybe this is more where you were going, Mike. No, I think you reinforced to your kids in that situation, hey, you know, mom and dad are imperfect. We've told you that a million times and you've seen plenty of evidence of it. But is our job, with our limited wisdom and ability, to discipline you as best we can? What you did was wrong, and this was the discipline that your mother and I chose. And there's never a single discipline that we're able to perfectly tailor to match, you know, what it is that you've done to sin or to disobey. But we're doing our best by God's grace to lead you in the way that He wants for you and that we want for you. And so your attitude right now is not appropriate. This is not appropriate for you to be throwing this back at us and saying, you know, you shouldn't have done this and you disciplined me the wrong way. That's not your position to make that decision or to understand those things. Yeah. So I don't know. What do you think, Mike? You've actually lived this. So,
well, yeah, I've never made any mistakes parenting. So I guess
it's okay. Sorry, I shouldn't assume.
No, of course. There were times that I had to apologize to my kids because I was angry and all of that. But I would say for the most part, I was looking at the second scenario, but I think this is why, this just popped into my head, by the way. I think this is why Jesus said what he said in Matthew 18:20. Okay. And what did he say? Well, he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. That is assurance that when you do, because it says in verse 19, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Well, this is the idea of going through that that if your brother sins against you and doesn't listen, and you have to take two or three witnesses, and he refuses, and you have to tell it to the church, he doesn't listen to the church, you got to basically let him be as a Gentile and a tax collector, but you can't have fellowship, okay? And the idea is, Jesus is then saying, when you do what the Bible says, obviously imperfectly, be confident that you have the assurance of Christ that you are on the right track and that he will work things out in the way that he designed in his sovereign good pleasure and in his providential orchestration of all things.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. I think that's a helpful place to kind of begin to move towards an end. Mike, is there anything else that you want to just throw out, even as a kind of a tee up for Sunday or anything like that as we wrap this one up?
I would just say I would really want to be thinking this way, and this is the way I try to think, but it's not easy. You want to freely forgive, like quickly, okay? But then eagerly, like you want to like be engaged in that process and not just be begrudgingly. And then do it wisely. Just do it wisely. And again, that trust needs to be rebuilt if it's been broken over and over again. Hmm. If it's just a one-time occurrence and it's like, that's the easiest, right? Well, it depends on how big it is, I guess, how big of an injury it is. Mm-hmm. I would just say you want to forgive in a very free and quick and eager and wise way.
Yeah.
And you always want to forgive. I guess you'll never not need to forgive. Hmm. Until you get to heaven.
It's coming, yeah. People who sin gets you all the way. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
On this earth.
That's good.
Under the sun, you'll never not need to forgive.
Yeah. Yeah, I think my closing thought, and then we'll wrap this one up, I would just say something like this. You know, I don't know if it's always obvious to us. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not when we're harboring something. And so just occasionally, maybe have a little bit of a heart check, you know, kind of a see if there's any engine, check engine lights on the dash, just to pray. Lord, is there anybody that I'm harbor anything toward, you know, anybody that I'm not extending forgiveness to, not loving. So could be helpful for us to even just pray, you know, about that in response to some of what we talked about today. But listeners, thank you so much for joining us. Hope this was helpful to you. Hopefully it gave you some good things to think about. Until next week on the podcast, God bless you and have a great day.